Just continue to praise him as we release the children to kingdom land. Just going to move into the next phase of worshiping you, King Jesus. As the India team shares what God has for us this morning. And I just encourage you to, as you've taken a step, whoever has taken a step today, to just ask Jesus to come and take root in our hearts in a deeper way. And if you've given your life to Jesus for the first time, please let us know today and share that with someone. We just encourage you in this new walk with the Lord that this is a day where the Lord says, I bring you into my family. I bring you into my kingdom. I invade you with my presence, the presence of the Spirit of God, the living Spirit of God. So if that's you, just know that you're in family of God right now. We're not shy in this house about encouraging those to take a step, maybe for the first or another time, to take a step and give their lives to Jesus wholeheartedly. So if that's you, if you have been able to say, yes, Jesus, I'm surrendering to you, just put your hand in the air. We just want to welcome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the new lives. Thank you, God. Anybody else, give themselves to Jesus. Maybe a renewal today, maybe the first time. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. Father, we just bless what you've done. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We just thank you, God. You're so good. We welcome you into the family of God. We say, God bless you. And there's more. The Lord says, this is a new day. The greatest miracle of all miracles has taken place today. And we just celebrate the name of Jesus in your life. And for those who have taken another step, we celebrate the goodness of God in your life and encourage you to keep walking in that. And there's more information. Just see us after church if that's something that you would like to take a step in. Praise the name of the Lord. So we have the India team that's back from India now. And whatever it is that they want to share, I'm so excited. I have my husband back. Hallelujah. And my spiritual family as well, more of them. So God bless you. This is amazing morning. So just see what God wants to share. Just come on up, guys.
Start. I'll start, I guess. Resurrection. That was pretty good. Jesus never intended us just to celebrate his resurrection. He wants us to share his resurrection with other people. Some people end up coming to church on Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate it, and the rest of the year, they don't live resurrected lives. We want you to live resurrected lives all year long, everywhere you go, and then share the resurrection power of Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. He asked Martha if she believed this. So when we go overseas taking Jesus to India or wherever it is we go, we take his resurrection power. If we didn't believe that, I don't think I would go. Why go? If he doesn't take lives that are in bondage and resurrect them, why even go if you're not giving life away? If it's just to earn points with God, that doesn't work. We have to be giving life away everywhere we go. So I would just say to you that our message there was one of joy. Resurrection Day should be a joyous celebration of what he does the rest of the year in our lives. It should be a culmination of everything that he's done, not necessarily just a day unto itself. It's a celebration of how he gives us resurrection life all year long. Some people live in depression and then come to church on Resurrection Sunday and feel a little better. I say, let's get rid of the depression. Let's watch Jesus give resurrection life all year long. And so much of what turned out to be a theme in India was the joy of the Lord is your strength. This morning, Resurrection Sunday gives you an opportunity to see that joy, Jesus on you, is your strength. A person, not an emotion, because joy isn't an emotion. It's too deep. Happiness is an emotion. The world can only get as high as happiness. So if you're just connected with that, I just want to be happy, you're going to live lowest common denominator. I didn't hear an amen, but that's okay. They already gave it to me in India, so I don't need it here. It's just lowest common denominator is happiness. But with Jesus, it can go to joy. That's much deeper. It stays with you. It's because it's a person. Jesus is a person that is joy. Joy is a person. It is Jesus. So if you carry him inside, it's like having this gurgling, this bubbling going on all the time. You can dip into that well and drink from it. And you can face anything when you have deep enough joy. That was our message in India. What I'm telling you is what I said to them. And so I would get up, I would be dancing in joy. They'd say, "How old are you? What's going on with you? Who are you, dude?" We were on the metro. I was meeting people on the metro. They're not used to people shaking hands on the metro. And I'm a white, bald guy from USA shaking hands on the metro system, the train system in the city of New Delhi. And the first guy that the Holy Spirit shows me, because I shook many hands, and I said, "Holy Spirit, which one, 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 which one?" I knew which person I was supposed to talk to with sound effects. And so I started talking to this military guy. He was in the Navy in India. He said he'd been on some of our ships, the George Washington and one other ship. I said, "How did they treat you?" "Well, they treated me very well." He gave Carly his seat, and he came, and he was about this far from my nose. And I'm one of the messages that I also shared in India was, you have Holy Spirit explosive inside of your heart if you know Jesus. If you light the fuse, he explodes on people. This guy was this far from me, and I thought, Holy Spirit's going to explode on him. That was what came to my mind. And so he's sharing, you know, "Yeah, they treated me well." I said, "Oh, great. What do you think I do?" Businessman? I said, "Yes, I'm a businessman." "Oh, okay." I said, "My business is people." Yeah. Anytime I shared that on the metro, it was always, "Huh? How do you do that?" And so then I said, I'd get the chance to go all around the world and tell people about Jesus. And he didn't back away. His eyes were glued on my eyes like this. Because in India, often, because of the Hinduism, they just go, "Well, yeah, he's one of a list of gods." But he was tuned into me. And I shared with him the entire gospel. And he said that he would go ahead and pray that night and see if it was real, if it was true, because I asked him to do that. He said, "Yes, I'll do that. I'll pray and ask God if what you say is true." Because I could tell he wasn't quite ready at that moment. You don't just throw Jesus out there like, "Oh, here you go," in a land of many gods. You let Jesus reveal himself to them. And I guarantee he will, because why? Shake hands, shake hands, shake hands. That's how I know. Because he pointed him out to me. And I know that that night, Jesus revealed himself to him if he prayed. He still had to say, you know, "God, is this person telling the truth?" But he added, "I want to go to a Christian church because I have questions and I want them answered." And so he offered that he would go to a Christian church and check things out further. So those are the kinds of things that we ran into while we were doing ministry with children, while we were going to the villages, while we were doing that. We had at least 3 or 4 people want to come to our room for prayer in the hotel. Jesus is the desire of the nations. People want him. They just don't know they want him. And when we walk into the room with the explosive power of Holy Spirit, if we expect people to want him, they will. The last day we were at the hotel, they said, please, 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 we've seen the guitar, please, sing for us. So we sang in the hotel, in the lobby. The people going in and out of the hotel stopped. They formed a circle. They were watching. There happened to be a guy there by the name of Moses. And I believe the Red Sea was opened right there in the lobby. It was so fun. You can't imagine. And then Carly learned a Telugu song. Carly sings. She sings Telugu. In the lobby. If you ask her pretty please, she'll sing for you today. And the people were so thrilled to hear in their own language about Jesus in the lobby. Now, also in the lobby is this incense burner, you know, as a thing to the Hindu gods. But Jesus shone out so much greater than that crazy incense burner thing that they had. And people wanted to come to the room, get prayer. The assistant manager said, I'd seen him 2 years, had talked with him, thanked him for everything. He wanted to come to the room for prayer the last day. He ended up in Carly's room. He said he would go ahead and pray that night to see if what I was saying was true about Jesus being the only God, because he's got family pressures. His whole family's Hindu. He'd be the first Christian in his family, like many of them that we met. So he's got to count the cost. We need to count the cost to really follow Jesus in resurrection life. Amen? That was better. Because he's worth it. All we heard from the children today, all the worship today, he's worth it. He's worth our whole life. Don't just kind of do middle of the road. You can't with Jesus. It has to be radical. It has to be out there, crazy. Let people get this far from your nose and explode on them in love. I was smiling the whole time. I think he was the guy that said, "You seem to be the youngest person on the train." He was my new friend. Because I know I wasn't. But that's the kind of thing that happened in India. People were coming to us. We did a program at a church in the evening. The Hindus came to the entrance, looking in, passing their babies in to have them prayed for. And then they came to Jesus at the end. The gospel was preached. Some of the women that had come with their babies suddenly presented themselves before the Lord, prayed right out to receive Jesus as the only God. He drew them in. Jesus was waiting for us to go there so he could draw them in. I already know who I am. I need him in every way to take me there, to empower me there, to have me be confident there, to have me dance there, to have me do all the things that we did there. I already know I need him so much to do that. And when he draws them in, we bring those sheep right into the fold. We bring those children right into the family. It's so much fun. It can happen here more and more and more and more. And I think some of it was happening while I was gone. I heard good reports. So today, Jesus is joy. If you want more joy, he can carry you with that joy. That's the wings of eagles. That's the flying with him on wings of eagles. We should be going higher, higher in joy, higher in joy, so that people recognize in us we have something they don't have, and they're changed by it just by being with us. And I don't know where all that confidence came from to go on the metro and shake all these hands, because I remember a time in my life when I was hiding behind a curtain of hair. And Jesus literally has taken it away. It went down the drain. Ah, one at a time. Whoa! Ah! But I don't know whether it opened up a whole new world for me, but I just felt the confidence of the Lord. I was... I was sailing on your prayer. I felt it. I felt it in India, the prayer that was offered up here, the times when we heard you were praying for the India team. It was affecting us in India. You need to know that. I don't think I've been as confident on any trip I've ever been on. I was talking to people on the plane. They wanted to leave, you know, their seat, I think, after I started going because, you know, they just wanted to sleep. I took a little nap and shared a little bit, took a little nap, shared a little bit. It's fun. Get on the trains. Ask Holy Spirit to point out which person, after shaking a number of hands, smiling with the joy of Jesus, over many people, but finding that one person. Who's the one that's going to come to Jesus today when he counts the cost and sees Jesus is worth everything? Lots of fun. You can do the same thing, and you are. I heard about it. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That's true. The second guy on the metro prayed to receive Jesus right with me on the metro. He didn't know what hit him. He was just, you know, he's this far away from me again. Because they allow the women and the older people to sit, you know, and men come up and stand. So they were all offering me a seat because I looked older. But after a while, they stopped offering. It's kind of fun. But anyway, the second guy was a businessman, and he just said, this is the day. Man, this is my day, basically, was what he was saying. This is an event in my life I'll never forget. And so we connected him with the pastor in New Delhi, and hopefully he's there for Resurrection Sunday today. Be awesome.
Sure. I just feel the Lord's heart in speaking for this body today. You know, obviously be encouraged by the testimonies that we share because we saw miracles and salvations in a nation that is, you know, not for Jesus. But for you personally, sitting in your seats, I believe the Lord wants to release a new revelation of the authority that you carry when the Holy Spirit is inside of you. I just really feel his heart for that because the thing that I walked away from this trip, and I wasn't there as long as the rest of the team, was just a new, fresh revelation of the authority that we, our little team, me as an individual, carry because of Jesus. And we can know that, but if we really start to believe that, then we're going to step out into areas that we never thought were possible. And you won't care how silly you look because you just start, like Pastor Bill said, expectation. You start expecting something's going to happen with that person in front of me, this scarf. Something's going to happen when I open my mouth and the Holy Spirit fills it with words. And Jesus says in Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this trip was just really incredible. You know, I mean, India, it's a Hindu nation, and just, I want to share one testimony that I may have touched on before, but share a little more. Just imagine that, you know, you're in a Hindu nation where the government is controlled by that, where there's persecution of other religions, where, you know, your life could be in danger if you're a Christian, where for generations your family has been of the Hindu religion, which believes in many gods, and some of those gods are pretty scary, pretty fearful. I mean, there's goddess of death and destruction, god of sin, god of, not, you know, I don't really understand exactly how it all works together, but just a lot of fear, and then, and then you're with your family one day in a town that's known for being a very high holy Hindu place where a holy war was fought, you know, lots of spiritual strongholds, and you're with your family, and you're the only Christian in your family, the rest are Hindu, and a mysterious group of white and one brown people come to your house one day. I'm the brown person, if you were trying to guess. And so this happened, and this happened outside New Delhi. The pastor we were working with had an acquaintance with a woman who was a Christian, but her family was Hindu. And the way that they got them to, I guess, accept us coming was that, well, there's a brand new baby, and there's more that goes with the story, but there was a new baby, and we want this pastor to dedicate the baby. Because even, it's amazing, you know, talking about the authority of Jesus, even for people who don't believe in Jesus, if they're really seeking truth, then there will be an awe and a reverence. Like, we would walk into a place of Hindus, and they would see something on us, and there would be an honor and an awe and a reverence of, they knew that there was something special that we carried. And many of those people came to Jesus. But when you carry Jesus, you know, hold your head up high, because people take notice. So we walk in, and a lot of things happened, but dedicated the baby, and Pastor Billy even got to name the baby, named him Philip, which is amazing if you go look up who that is in Scripture, and started sharing, and Pastor Bill was sharing the gospel, and it was at first met with some resistance by a man there who, I don't want to go into everything, but he was just he wanted to have an intellectual debate about theology, but not really know Jesus, and he was very, very hard, and so, you know, we continue to move along and share the gospel, and I don't remember the exact progression of events, but Carly prays for, did they receive Jesus or did the person get healed first? Well, so we just kept sharing, and, you know, slowly but surely we were getting their attention more and more and more, and as Pastor Bill just kept sharing, they were very resistant, but the Holy Spirit just has a way of softening hearts, you know, and he had prepared us for that moment. So Pastor Bill offered, does anyone want to pray to receive? And I was surprised. Everybody did. I mean, they really did. And you know that they were genuine because they weren't at first really into what we were talking about. So they prayed. Yeah.
The oldest person in the house was open. The others in the house didn't seem to be open. They saw that he was open, and it opened them up to more of the gospel. And he was, like, ready. He was ripe. And one of the things we talked about with him before I presented the gospel was, so, you know, do you do the ceremonial washings and so on down at the riverbank and so on? He said, no, there's water here at my house. So he was not a real serious Hindu, you know, because he didn't even bother to go down where the dirty water was and do the ceremonial washings. No, my water's clean at my house. I just do the water thing at my house. And we were laughing because no one has ever told us that, ever. And he was just so real, so that when we were real, it connected with him being real. And he was just, like, so open, so ready. And when we left, he couldn't speak a stitch of English, but he was going, like, this older guy, he's, like, pointing at this guy. He's like, me, it came to me. And it was like, wow, I didn't want to leave, but sorry.
He was so excited. So that, thank you for that clarification. But long story short, they prayed to receive Jesus, hallelujah. The whole family comes to Christ. And then we have a meal. And then Carly, one of the women, had arthritis, real bad, very painful in both of her wrists and hands. Carly just simply prayed for her. And you know, there's the family. And she was instantly healed. I mean, her countenance just changed. She's, oh my goodness, all the pain is gone. That's amazing. So that's the one right there in the yellow. And that's the baby Philip. So amazing, precious time just hanging out. And so then I got up, and the guy who had been skeptical at first but had prayed to receive, he said he had back pain. So I felt the Lord was saying to have the woman who was just healed come with me. I said, you know, Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. You just had a testimony. Explain that a testimony means do it again, Lord. Why don't you come and pray for this guy with me, because you carry Jesus too. And so she got right up and, you know, came, prayed. There's the guy there, and he was healed too. He said that all the pain went away. He was, you know, bending up and down. We have a video somewhere. And then the woman in the orange there, who you can't see, she also needed healing. She had an infection from some sort of insect bite, but it had been there for months and really painful, hard to move her arm. So we all, three of us, prayed, laid hands and prayed for her, and she was healed. So salvation and healing came to that family, and it was incredible. And afterward, Pastor Rishi Paul said that, you know, that was really significant. When you as the people who are, you know, missionaries or pastor come and say, and you honored that woman by asking her to come and pray for this man. And that's something that she wouldn't have maybe stepped out in at all, but because we released her to do that, he said that is really an honor to her in front of her family, an honor to her walk with the Lord, and something that will launch her into stepping out more. So, you know, the Lord and each of us in our lives too, it's the same thing. You know, we bring the authority, the power, the love, the presence of the Lord, and we raise up other disciples to go out and do the same. So your prayers and your support, everything in this little team, I mean, we got to affect pastors and women and men and children who are going to go out and reach many for Jesus. So hallelujah.
It was awesome. This trip, I could basically, Pastor Bill, you know, kind of summed it up, but if you could boil it down, the message always was, God's your father, he loves you, he's not mad at you, he's really good, he wants to give you good things, why don't you get drunk in the Holy Spirit? mean, well, but more flowy like that. But bottom line, that was kind of the bullet points of it. And that message would take various forms, but it was so refreshing and encouraging to see these Indian sons and daughters, Christians, receiving an affirmation from the Lord like, hey, we came all the way from the United States to let you know that actually we're here because you prayed. Like, it's your prayers in this church that brought us to you. There's like 1 billion people in India, but for some reason we're with you right now today. And that's because God sees you. He sent us to tell you this. And then you could just see them receiving, you know, you're a son, you're a daughter. He loves you. He wants to bless you and encourage you. And so that, I mean, I've never seen so many Indian faces, not just laughing at Pastor Bill's antics and demonstrations of sermons and everything else, but you could literally see joy being deposited in their hearts. And us receiving encouragement from the different pastors and ministries we're working with, like the first people we ministered with in Rajahmundry that aren't, you know, with our children's homes, their names are Pastor Abraham and Pastor Sam, who we connected with. They're like, your guys' joy just totally like refreshed our hearts and encouraged us, and they had an experience of weariness and things like that. And the first time that we go in and we share with Carly and myself and Pastor Bill at their children's Sunday school, we're like, what are we going to share on? Well, let's share on soaking, you know, with people that we had just met, don't necessarily have all, you know. So we share on soaking about laying down in the presence of the Lord, and we're like, you know, I'm going to have the children lay down, and they're kind of in church, you know, like, what? But they did, and, you know, this little girl, there was one little girl that saw a picture of Jesus coming, and, you know, and it was, you know, Pastor Bill sang over them and kind of brought him up and was playing the guitar with them, and it was really a cool time. But later, one of the, you know, the pastors had spoken to us, and they said, you know, I see and I recognize the seed of the importance of what that is, of soaking, of taking time and waiting before the Lord and spending. And he's like, and I, you know, I receive that. I believe that more fruit's going to come from that. And I'm sitting there like, wow. For you to receive that initially from the beginning of resting in the presence of the Lord, you don't have to pray, you don't have to work, you have to do it, just receive. And you're receiving that in our first connection and relationship and ministry. Like, what does the Lord have in store for you after this? Because you're actually, I mean, I was kind of like, oh, you don't know what you're saying yes to in the spirit because of what's coming. And so there were a lot of opportunities to lead different believers into the position of receiving from Holy Spirit through soaking, you know, just, you know, filling up. If we're talking about joy, you can experience the joy. And so at the same place, we had a, you know, a meeting, which was called Cottage Prayer, which we didn't necessarily know what that was, but sure, we're going to do it. And so got to share with these different Indian women about the presence of the Lord coming. Pastor Bill sang again prophetically, and just these women and these children were just resting before the Lord. And this one woman just started just interceding. You could tell, like, Holy Spirit anointed intercession of what the Lord was just burning in her heart. And she's sitting there, and the Lord's, I mean, she is entering into, like, wailing intercession over something. At the same time that the peace of God is there. So I'm up there and I'm sharing. And literally, like, it'd be if I'm talking right now, but there's a woman over here who's, like, crying and interceding, yet everybody else is still receiving peace. It was incredible. And, you know, we had heard later that, you know, some of the people that had actually gone home after that and they had practiced it, you know, oh, we should try this ourselves in our houses and everything else. And which was really, you know, a cool and unique thing. And one of the things that blessed me then when we connected with our, you know, our pastors, Dewa and Sunitha, who are in charge of our children's home, whatever. We were going out to different village ministries, and again, you know, we were sharing and encouraging the church, and we had a gospel rally where, you know, I don't know if you've seen the pictures. It was so cool. They hold up these signs that would say, like, in Telugu, like, Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. So it's totally like a parade. you know, Indians wearing clothes like Michelle, because for Indians, every day, they wear this. I told them, it's like, you guys dress up like princesses every day. Like, it's awesome. Like, guys, you look handsome. Women, they all look like princesses. Because you're royalty. But so we were at, and Pastor Bill had shared, it was kind of like near the end of the meeting, and this one woman came up, and she's like, you know, I kind of need some prayer for my headache. And so I go to pray for her, and I'm just like, okay. You know, sometimes after we would share, they would line up so we can bless them. Okay. So this woman comes up, and I just barely touch her. I pray for her, and she completely falls down. And then she goes to get back up. And I'm like, no, wait. Just stay down, you know. And then, so she kind of tried to get back. Wait, just stay down there. And so there was a whole group of, like, women and ladies right next watching this happen. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, yes, why don't we just receive from Holy Spirit right now? Because obviously he's moving. You've seen all of this. And as she was laying on the ground, like, she just began, you know, to weep. And then later she got up at the end and she said, you know, I had a really bad headache. As soon as you touched me, like, and I fell down, completely laughed, and I was just receiving this peace. But that, her receiving simply like that, totally opened up the door for all these other women that were there and watching it, just to stand, hey, let's just receive from Holy Spirit right now. Because he's obviously here and moving, because they had seen his demonstration. So then they just opened their hearts up and, you know, like, really encouraged them. You know, sometimes when you're overseas and you want to pray for people, you know, they pray. Like, you're coming forward to receive prayer. And I think we even sometimes do that here in the U.S. And I would sometimes use Carly as an example. Like, came forward to receive prayer. And then it's like your lips are moving. You're praying. But you don't need to pray. It's good to pray. But just receive. Like, stop praying. Just, you came forward to receive prayer. So why don't you just receive prayer? I mean, you know, it could see them, like, making those connections of, hey, this is something that actually really is simple. Like, let's just stop, be still, be quiet, and receive. And so then these different women did, and three or four different women, not that it's all about, like, everybody has to fall down, but I sure like it when Indian people fall down, when they're touched by Holy Spirit, because they don't necessarily see that, or sometimes they think if somebody falls down that they're demonized, and it's like, that's not a demon. That's peace. They're receiving peace. They're receiving the presence. And so several different women here, like, they're laid out. The lady with the, I would say the lady with the flowers on her dress, but they all have flowers on their dress. So the woman there with the leaves, she's the one that initially fell down, headache, crying. She actually came to another one of our meetings, like, beaming. Just, she came from another village to where we were at again, just to receive more. And that woman there with the, well, yeah, the flowers, not the leaves, the one right to the right there. She was totally laughing, like, on the ground, just receiving, and then occasionally, like, laughter would come up. And just seeing the Holy Spirit touch these different people, it was so cool. Like, for me, I'm blessed because I'm there so that they can encounter Jesus, so they can encounter the Father's love, so they can experience it and know it as a reality. Because a lot of times it is difficult and it's hard to be a Christian in India, but it's like, hey, your Father loves you, and he loves to hear your song. He loves to hear you sing. He tells the angels about you because he just loves you so much. And so it was just really cool seeing, you know, these different people receive. And one of the other things, so that Pastor Bill had mentioned, you were sharing at one of our Pastor Prabhakar's church, and the same thing. It's like where the Holy Spirit fell, all these Hindu women, like, came to the back because there was commotion going on because of, you know, wailing of Holy Spirit touching different individuals. And, you know, it was just kind of an interesting mix of what was going on. But then was able to very clearly present the gospel to these Hindu women that were drawn because of the presence of the Lord was drawing them. And I'm like, well, if the presence of the Lord is drawing them, then they're right in the right spot to hear the gospel. And as I was sharing it with them, I could see one woman, like, because the Lord was leading me. I'm telling you, like, I've come all the way, God sent me all the way from the United States for you, like, to tell you something right now. And you could see, I could see, like, in her eyes that revelation of, like, wait a minute, like, the moment that I'm in right now, God is speaking to me. Like, he has seen me. And I could just see it, like, God was working in her heart of, hey, this isn't just a message that I can add in, it's Like, this is an awakening moment for my life where everything's going to change. It was just so cool to see how the Holy Spirit moved in those ways of drawing people to him and receiving the joy and receiving the presence of the Lord. And there was such a release of sonship on this trip of knowing who you are and enjoying the Father. And, you know, I could, and I had and would, because I had plenty of opportunities to share, talk forever. But it was funny just seeing the Lord's presence, because once the Holy Spirit's flowing, you just get so excited and like, Carly, come take the mic from me, because if you don't, I'm going to just keep talking and people can't receive. She did. She was great for that.
Now you're going to experience it for yourself.
Yes, now let's experience it. It was also sometimes fun because Indians, they really like movies. They like movies, they like stories, they like, you know, Bollywood and that whole thing. Seeing, you know, they really connected with, you know, testimony and doing it again and receiving and everything else. But so in Romans 8, verse 22, it says, "And we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but we also ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoptions as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what hopes for what he already sees." And one of the things that I just kind of wanted to share with you this morning, along with these crazy, amazing testimonies of the Lord releasing sonship into the hearts of these Indian Christians and new believers that came into the family, is that the Lord was highlighting to me that all of creation, I mean, we were in some of the most beautiful places that I've ever seen in India, and that all of creation is groaning and waiting for the children, the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. The ones that were speaking and releasing the truth to, you're a son, you're a daughter. He wants to do something on the inside of you. And at the same point, the Lord's impressing to me that Jesus, being a man, you know, he's fully God, but he became a man, came onto the earth, took on a body like us, that then he died on the cross. And the Lord was speaking to me, yes, I've taken care of your sin, but Jesus, the Bible says, was the firstborn from among the dead. He's the firstborn. He's the resurrection of life. And the Lord was highlighting to me that he has the first resurrected body. Jesus has the first resurrected body, physical body. And my body's going to die. Each one of our physical bodies are going to die, but our spirits, they're born again. My soul, when this body dies, I go to be with the Lord. But the Lord was showing me that this Easter revelation is, I'm celebrating resurrection because I'm going to get a brand new body. Like a resurrected body. Like a brand new body that will never die, because it says, you know, that death will be the last enemy to be defeated. So at some point, I'm going to receive a body that will never die. That's crazy. And while the Lord's showing me this, I'm like, Lord, why are you showing me that? Oh, wait, it's Resurrection Sunday, you know, the redeeming of our... So, you guys hearing my heart on that? Like, I'm going to live forever in a brand new body that will never, ever wear out. So the ones that I'm in now, you know, I'm just praying that the Lord will bring life and healing into it now. And so we were able to see that released in India, but I also want to see that over you today. So if you're here and you're sick in any way, shape, or form, in celebrating the resurrected body of Jesus and your physical new resurrected body that you're going to get after you die, or for those of us that will be alive when Jesus returns, we won't die. We'll just have it like a switch. Which, that'll be fun. I mean, I'd like that, you know, if we're alive, you know, when Jesus returns, which might be soon if you're watching the news. But, it, you know, some of us might not die, because in an instant we'll change and we'll instantly get our new body without actually experiencing physical death. So why not us? Why not now? Because the Lord's got his time and everything else, but you know that. But... so if you're here and you need healing, Lord, I release it. Father, you say in your word that the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives and dwells on the inside of our mortal body. So Lord, this morning we receive resurrection life on the inside physically. Lord, even though that our body, Father, perishes, Lord, we know that we'll be renewed day by day, life by life, Father. In the name of Jesus, I speak resurrection, life over every single body here, Lord. In the name of Jesus, life in. Lord, we reverse and cancel and curse, Father, any cancer. And Lord, we tap in to the deposit, Lord, of our resurrected body that you have won for us by dying on the cross, Lord. So we release life in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo! Receive it. Yes. It was like this woman that, not woman, there was a woman who got healed with nobody even like going out and specifically praying for her. Just as we were sharing the truth and the testimony of what the Lord was doing and receiving, nobody went, nobody laid hands on her. They love that in India. If they, she just was sitting there, had a body pain, total headache, everything else, just received as the word was being shared, completely healed. It was incredible.
Yes. There you go. Yeah, well, just one more interesting thing about the Hindu women that came into the church because of the move of the Holy Spirit. It was so interesting to me because in the U.S., I feel like people are so skeptical of moves of the Holy Spirit. You know, they, if they hear about it and they see it and they're not, you know, they're very, is this real? Is this true? Is this? So it was interesting to me that these women were so drawn in, literally walking by the church with their children on a Sunday evening, look in. And at this point, it's like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Like we had gone way late. And they just look in and come all and stand by the door and are just looking. And what, you know, so I was like, well, why is that? Why is it that they were so drawn by what was going on? And I realized it's because they have so many temples and they worship so many gods, but they never see him move. They never see his power. They never see anything. They go in, they offer sacrifices. They do their rituals. They, all of that. So, and so many gods, but they don't ever see any power. So they, when they saw something, they could see, this isn't normal. Something is happening here. And they just walked to the door, and then Andy saw them and knew by the Spirit, these women are Hindu, they don't know Jesus, but he has drawn them here tonight to know him. So then he was able to speak directly to them. And as he said, all five women and a couple, I think their sons that were like teenage or so, all came to the front to receive him. And we were able to talk to them about one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, which was a message I love to share no matter where we went. If we were talking to Hindus about Jesus, I was always sharing, you know, it's one God. He represents himself to us as three persons so we can understand him better. But it's one God because we only need one God because he's the only one with any power. Because as oftentimes they do just, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. I pray to Jesus along with 300 other gods or 3,000 other gods, however many they have. So I always love to stress that. And a really awesome opportunity to do that was the village rallies that we went to. We did two of them. Excuse me. The first one, well, they are both with the people that run our children's home. The second one, the children actually came with us, which was really fun. We happened to be there during their time when they're preparing for their exams, so they had some time off school. So we got to spend a lot of time with them, which I just loved so much. Anytime we had a free moment, I was like, can I go be with the kids? Can I go be with the kids? You guys eat dinner. I'll go over and be with the kids. It was, oh, they are just so precious. So, so precious. And so it was really fun to get them to get to take them to the village outreach the second time we went. But both times it was, we would gather the church in the area and we were going out into these villages up in the hills. Some of them were in what they called Naxalite territory, which is basically communist territory where there are parts of India in these villages in the hills that the government has said, okay, you can have your own communist government here. And we're not gonna, our police aren't gonna come, our government, our laws don't apply to you at all. And so there are areas that are typically very resistant to Christianity, but at the same time, pastors have gone there and formed churches and are growing churches, and there are believers there that are gathering and going out to do these amazing rallies where we carry signs, and we just, the whole time, they're just singing worship songs. And then we like met this lady. This is the first rally we went to. We met this lady. She was the first one. We had, I don't know, 20 people with us at least. And this is totally like stopping for the one. We just stopped. And I got to share the whole gospel with her. And she prayed to receive Jesus on the spot. And then we walked to just, there were other people that were listening from a hut nearby. And if you want to go to the next picture, the other way. Then Pastor Bill got to talk to this guy who had kind of overheard. We were using a sound system up there, so we had kind of overheard, you know, what we were saying. But again, then Pastor Bill got to share with him one-on-one. He prayed to receive Jesus on the spot. So, and we just kept going from hut to hut and talking to people and sharing with them. And, you know, some prayed right there. Others, we said, ask God if this is true. Ask Jesus to reveal himself to you, and we believe he will. So it was just amazing. And then, as I said, the second one, our frontline children's home kids got to come. So we have a couple fun, one video from that. If Angie, you can pull up the children dancing at the rally video. Thank you. So the children were just coming with us with the signs, to go to the village. As I said, hut to hut, and they were the ones that were leading the worship as we went, and it they stopped at one point and just had a time of worship, and yes, here it is. They love to dance. So as you can see, from the youngest to the oldest, they were all joining in. Some had signs, banners, were playing music, were the ones singing out. The little boy that was dancing like crazy happens to be my sponsor child. So I'm a little biased in showing that clip, but he's just so adorable. But they all just love to dance and worship. And so it was so much fun to be able to take them out to the village. And still, you know, they went from us hut to hut as we were able to stop and share with people. Again, on that village outreach, a number of people prayed to receive Jesus. I got to share with a couple. Andy got to share with a couple. And we're just going right up to their huts as they're peeling tamarind, as they're going about their daily lives. And, you know, we just come in with this message that Jesus is here and he wants you to know him and he can heal you. And it's something they've never heard before and never experienced before. And so it was just amazing to be able to do that. And yeah, such a privilege just to be with the kids and all of that stuff. So. Okay. I don't know what my throat is doing, but I'll sing. I'm going to need a stand because there's motions too. Let's see if I know how to even do this. So they did this the first night that we were, no, the second night we were there. Pastor Bill and Andy went to a pastor's conference with our other contacts, and Michelle and I stayed back to be with the kids. And they just showed us this little song and dance, and I loved it because it seemed simple and repetitive enough. So I said, I want to learn this. And then I got to do it at a number of churches and pastors' conferences and the hotel lobby. So I blame Jamie McCray. Is she in here? Because she gave a prophetic word during our commissioning that there would be new sounds arising, especially from Michelle and I, that we would be raising up in worship and releasing new sounds. So here goes nothing. Oh, dear. Jesus. Okay. 예수 네 프레마 바후캄마나이나디 지바 하름 마두라투 마두라미 예수 네 프레마 바후캄마나이나디 지바 하름 마두라투 마두라미 발레 발레 군디레 텐네 칸테 티아가 발레 발레 군디레 텐네 칸테 티아가 예수 니 프레마 바후 카마나이나디 지바 하룸 마두라투 마두라미 아이 두로텔루 렌두 차팔루 I do velu te naru, aha oho anaru. I do rote lu, rendu chapalu. I do velu te naru, aha oho anaru. Bale bale gundile, tene kante tiaga. Bale bale gundile, tene kante tiaga. Yesu ni prema bahu kamanainadi jiva harum maduratu madurami kanan pelilo nitini macharu draksha rashani mutagi aha oho anaru kanan pelilo nitini macharu Draksha rasha nimutagi aha oho anaru Bale bale gundile tenne kante tiaga Bale bale gundile tenne kante tiaga Yesu ni prema bahu kamanainadi Jiva harum maduratu madurami
So the words to the song, the chorus talks about Yesu ni prema bahukam manainadi jiva harum maduratu madurami. It's Jesus is the bread of life. He is as sweet as honey. And then the verses are, the first one's about the feeding of the 5,000. So five loaves, five fish, 5,000 people all ate, and then they celebrated. Aha, oho, anaru. And then the second verse is about Jesus turning water into wine. So the wedding at Canaan, he turned water into wine, everybody drank and celebrated. Aha, oho, anaru. So it was so much fun to do. There's actually a clip, I don't know if we want to show it or not, of me singing it with the girls at the church Sunday morning. It's not too long, so.
So in the villages, you get an opportunity to enter into the lives of the people there when you show up, whatever's going on. When a child becomes 1 year old, that's when they get their name. They're nameless until they're 1 year old. And so when they turn 1 year old, they have a big birthday party for them, sometimes involving the entire community. And they do it with the girls too? Okay. Both boys and girls, they, you know, often have curly black hair, all of them in India, and they, you know, lots of curls and lots of curls, both the boys and the girls, because they don't give them any haircuts until they're 1 year old. And then they ceremonially clip off three of the curls as an indication they've arrived at 1 year old, I guess. I don't know. It's a celebration that you're here and you have a name. And we're going to clip off three curls. And so we saw this at the church. They had a birthday party right in the middle of the service that we went to in the village. And everyone was all excited and joined in and so on. And then they had told us, well, Sunday night, you know, it won't be too, we won't be doing too much. You know, there's going to be a, you know, a small thing. And we kept seeing these preparations, but we thought, it must be a, we saw some chairs out in the courtyard. We thought, oh, it must be like a small prayer meeting or something. And they said, okay, it's time to go. Oh, I thought we were doing the prayer meeting here. No, no, it's over here. We went around this wall. There is an entire 200-300 people celebrating this child's birthday with a poster of the child, huge poster of the child. And then they said, oh, by the way, there's a lot of Hindus here that just, you know, they're part of the community and they come to celebrate this one-year-old child getting a name. And they said, okay, you'll go up to the poster and you will pull off the part of the banner that will reveal the name that was pasted up there. Like, oh, okay. So I'm just following their lead. I pull off the name. The entire group just cheers because now the child has a name about, you know, 48 syllables long in Telugu. And they're all, and so they took time to go over every part of the name. Then they have a big birthday cake. And then they said, oh, here's the scissors. You're going to cut off the curls of this child. And I'm okay in front of 200 or 300 people. And so I clip the curl, you know, the three curls, and they're cheering, they're celebrating. All this time, they're taking off the birthday cake and shoving it in this one-year-old's mouth. Every relative in the whole area came to this thing. So they all came on the stage and they all took a piece of the cake. By the time it was near the end, the kid was drunk on birthday, literally drunk on birthday cake. You couldn't force it in their mouth, in his mouth anymore. Oh, yeah, and part of the celebration is the younger, like 10 to 13-year-olds, they have this shaving cream stuff that they're just waiting for the right moment, and then it's released, and they just shower the whole group with shaving cream, so it's flying everywhere, and the mother's taking it out of her eyes, and burning her eyes, and the child, he's covered in this shaving cream, and I kind of saw it coming, so I didn't get any of my eyes, but it was all over me and all over each of us, but no harm, no foul. So then you get a chance to, they say, okay, well, you do a song and whatever you want to share, but only about 10 minutes. So I did Show Us Your Glory, which seemed to be the theme song for the trip. Everywhere we went, the children were singing it back to us. They'd come up to me and they go, show us your glory. And they, you know, trying to get me to sing with them. And so I would, and then they'd do it to each of the team members, and they'd sing it as a group. I'd come around a corner, show us your glory. But anyway, we sang that song, and then now this is to a very large crowd, 200-300 people, and then I started to share the gospel. And one of the things I do in sharing the gospel is, in a nation especially that has Hinduism with all the hundreds of God, is I only bend my knee to Jesus. So here's this completely lighted area, all with celebratory lights and all kinds of people. As soon as I put my knee down, I only bend my knee to Jesus. Put my knee down, all the lights go out. It's just like, and the place is dark except for the cameras taking pictures of me and a few people with cell phones. And so I just kept preaching in the dark. And finally the lights came back on and the hands went up to receive Jesus. I mean, it was so fun to think we were going to, well, let's have a nice prayer meeting here, little area of prayer meeting, go around the wall, 200 or 300 people. Lights go out when I put my knee down, clipping curls, you know, shaving cream flying everywhere. Wow, this is fun! Wow! And then, boom, people receive Jesus. You can't have any more fun than that. I'm telling you, birthday parties where people are coming to Christ in India. And the little guy is drunk on cake. Come on. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. What's that? Yeah, they had Carly sing happy birthday. She had that occasion a couple of times. Singing happy birthday. But they just tell you on the spot. Oh, Carly, Sister Carly will now sing happy birthday. Boom, you know, and she's, okay, sure. So fun. We went to one of the villages near the end, and they said, we're coming here because we're going to have the meeting. We were going to have the meeting here, but we're not going to have the meeting. So we all pile out of the vehicle, and we sit down in the village, and there's not a whole lot of people around. And I'm thinking, why are we here if the meeting's over at that village? Why are we sitting here at a village with just a few people scattered? But you kind of trust after a while that Holy Spirit knows what he's doing, because the pastors didn't even know why we were really standing there. They said, well, maybe we could have a meeting here, a short, small little meeting. They're actually waiting for us in the other village. They should have been in a hurry to get there. But for some reason, they felt settled that they were supposed to be there for a short time. And so there's a few people standing there, and we're, you know, engaging them, and we kind of do a little, you know, we're talking and dancing and just kind of talking with them. And finally, the leader of the village says, I have knee problems, you know, he tells the pastors, I have knee problems. Before I left for the trip, the enemy tried to hit my knees. First, he hit my right knee. And as I tried to go upstairs, this is before I left for India, I was, you know, whoa. And you're supposed to go to India and preach on healing. And I've got a knee that is in such pain. And I'm starting up the stairs. Every time I walk up the stairs, get this, you know, walking around the house, ooh. So I asked Pat, you know, Mary Pat to pray for me. And so she prayed for my knee, and I'm still feeling a little bit after that, and then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, hey, it's working. Woo! They love it when I do that in India. But anyway, so, and I said, you know, right, hey, Jesus, you know, Jehovah Rapha, he's our healer, 700 names and titles, and one of them is Jehovah Rapha, and he heals us. So I was feeling really good about that. Thank you, Lord. And then my other knee got hit like 2 days before I left for India. And so now the other knee. Oh, boy. And I'm supposed to go to India and preach on healing. And so I just said, look, Father, you're Jehovah Rapha. You healed this knee. Of course you're going to heal this knee. There's no begging. There's no saying, God, you know, I don't want to glitch around in the airports like this. You just say, you healed this knee. You love me. I'm your son. Heal this knee. So that when I go to India, I am completely healthy. And so, sure enough, started walking it out, and before I got on the plane, I'm good to go. So I tell them that in India, and so they know I've had healing just before I go for India, and they find a guy that has problems in both knees. And he happens to be the leader of the village. I'm like, he's mine. These guys can pray for other people. He's mine. Why? Because when God does something for us, he loves doing it again through us. And as you heard Michelle share about the woman that was healed of her wrists and this other guy needed healing and she just got healed, hey, get her involved in the healing. So I went over, I laid my hands on his knees, and I literally had the most faith in one moment that I had the entire trip. It just came as a gift. It wasn't from me. It wasn't me thinking, yes, the man of faith will now pray. It was just a gift. I just received it. It's like, man, I'm feeling like this guy's going to be healed. This guy, these knees are going to be right, you know. So I put my hands on it. I'm feeling his faith, and I'm going, he doesn't look like he's getting it, but I am. And so I pray for him, and they say, well, you know, I told him, please tell him to walk. So here he is walking. He had a cane, and he kind of left the cane behind. And he's walking, and he's walking, and he's not showing like he's really, there's a whole lot going on there. And they said, actually, he can walk, but he has more problems with sitting down, which of course they do a lot of, you know, a lot of this everywhere in their work and just sitting in the village. They don't always have something to sit on, so they're always kind of like bending their knees. So this guy, you know, is trying and it's not going so pray again over his knees. And before we were done, this guy was bending up and down. We had him walk again. He was like, yeah, I don't feel any pain. And he's sitting like this. So here I am doing squat exercises with this leader in the village. He's going and I'm going and hey, whoa, hey, this is going well, yeah, whoa. And the rest of the people are like, who is this? So much fun. So much fun. So he's doing the squats, I'm doing the squats. He's well. Next guy, I got knee problems. He wanted prayer, and by the time we ended, he was doing the squats too. We did exercise in the village, just for Jesus exercise. Father, we thank you, Lord. You're mighty. You're big. We carry you. Let us not back off. Let us press in. You are the desire of the nations. Jesus, in India, there is more joy than we've seen since we started going in 1998. That came from you. They're increasing in joy. They're increasing in receiving you as the desire of the nations. And of course it will have to happen. Because India needs to be won before you return. And they're a long way from it. So their expectation, their receiving your revelation must increase inside of them as a desire. And it is. We saw it. Thank you for the privilege of seeing it. An entire nation, everywhere we go, more people laughing and receiving the joy of the Holy Spirit, being willing to take the risk. Women stepping up to do things in front of men they would never do. Pray for other people. Sing. Other things, Father. They're being empowered by you. The nation is changing. Thank you for letting us go in and be part of that, seeing it. The Christians are giving their entire lives to reach villages that have been unreached in very dangerous territory where the Naxalites are and other groups. They don't care. They love Jesus. They want to give him out. Father, thank you for that. There's such an increase in India, an increase in joy, openness to laughter, openness to dancing, to worship, to getting away from old religious ways of doing things, to soaking, for heaven's sakes, in your presence. So open. We've been shut down before in places with soaking in India. Not this year. The desire of the nation is increasing. Thank you for letting us go. Thank you for letting us enter into that. Thank you for all the Christians that do ministry and love you and follow you and battle through everything all year long there, God. We bless Pastor Rohit, Pastor Rishi Paul in New Delhi and all the believers they represent. We bless Pastor Dewa, Suni, Pastor Prabhaka, Pastor Chinny, Father Sumati, and Rosie, Father, the three pastors in Rajahmundry. Father, we bless them. We bless Pastor Sam and Pastor Abraham and his wife out in the village area, Father, outside Rajahmundry. Bless everything they're doing, God. Increase these men and women to be all they can be in you, Father. Change the nation. Yes, God. Thank you for letting us see how you are moving, Holy Spirit. You are opening them up more and more to the gospel. Fewer and fewer people were resisting this year than ever. More and more were ripe fruit there to pick. More and more were drawn into the meetings rather than having us run out after them. But even when we did, and we went from hut to hut, the openness with the brand new message of just Jesus alone is enough for you and your salvation and your connection with a Father that loves you. It rang true for them right away, immediately, God. We know we were anointed by you. I pray each person here knows that they are anointed by you for their mission, Father. It may be in their family today as they eat Easter meal, Father. It may be in friends or in people that reconnect with them after many years. Father, help them step forth believing they're anointed, they're empowered, and they have the authority of Jesus, and it makes a difference. Let them explode on people through Holy Spirit dynamite. We give you praise for all you've done on this trip, and God, let it just continue, multiply. The little seed we put in your hand, just multiply it, Father, in all the different ministries we partnered with. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen.
This is one last thing I just want to read over you. Just felt compelled to do that, just as a blessing. We've heard so many good things, and we're receiving and praising God for everything he is and everything he's done. But I encourage you, I'm going to read right out of the Word, just over you as a final blessing. I encourage you to agree with the Word of God. Lord, this is for me. This is for me. So as you hear these few words, just agree in spirit and in truth with the Word of God. I want to live in that resurrection power. I want to live in that resurrection power. Say it to the Lord as you hear these words, so that all that we are speaking and receiving and testifying about take root, not just as something that we share in excitement, but that we leave completely and totally changed, empowered by God, so that we can encounter him through his word and these amazing testimonies. Lord, this is for me today. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly, tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. And then Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." The 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, and this is the end of Matthew, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Father, these words are for us. These words are for all of us in here today, that we choose today by your Spirit to live in the fullness of the resurrection power that has come after the stone was rolled away and you raised from the dead. You are alive. You live in me. And Father, you fill me to overflowing with your resurrection anointing, your resurrection power. And I will, Father, allow you to take my hand and empower me to live out the fullness in my life with my children, with my family, with my spouse, with my future spouse, with my grandchildren, with my neighbors, with those who I know and live with, those who I connect with other ways. And Lord, I choose to believe that the fullness of power comes upon me now. May you be filled with the power of God. Hey, the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead, may you walk away completely overwhelmed and overtaken by the fullness of the power and the fear of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you all. Have a great, great Resurrection Sunday. Amen.